Hosea chapter 1. There's not too much known about Hosea. All we know who his father was, that he was the son of Beeri. And the prophecies of Hosea are dated because of the names of the four kings that are mentioned in his prophecy, the four kings of Judah and one king of Israel. And his voice was heard throughout their reigns. And if you totaled up all the years that these guys reigned as kings in Judah and Israel, they covered a period of no less than 138 years. So his prophecies could have been no less than 70 years that he was in the ministry of a prophet there. The message of the prophet is to Israel in its imperfect state, while it was probably in one of its lowest points and wickedest points in history, as the kingdom, the state was with the 10 tribes. And Israel is mentioned or addressed directly 44 times in this prophecy, so it's directly to them. And I guess an analysis of the prophecies of Hosea's message to Israel shows that it revolves around three words as you read through these 14 chapters. One would be judgment, the other would be sin, and then love. That through judgment came because of the sin of the nation in the harlotries, and then sin, and then love, that God did bring them together and loved them freely. So tonight we'll look at Hosea. Next week we're going to take three books. We'll look at Joel, Amos, and Obadiah. And I thought when I first saw that was a song that the Beatles made up from their White Album, Obladee, Oblada, or something like that. But it's a real guy named Obadiah, and it's a real small prophecy, a real small prophet. I think he was a midget or something. It's got 21 verses in it. He didn't have much to say to Israel, but he had a couple things in there that were interesting. And Amos, there's only 9 chapters, and then Joel, of course, has some of the great end-time prophecies. There's only 3 chapters. So next week, read Joel, Amos, and Obadiah during the week. And if you haven't been reading during the week before you come on Sunday nights, let me encourage you to do it. A good time to do it is read a chapter in the morning before you go to work or school, or read a chapter before you go to bed at night, and you'll probably end up going through the stories that we study on Sunday night at least twice during the week if you take time. It's a good time for you, the families, to read the Scriptures with one another too, and you husbands and wives. So let's look at Hosea tonight and see what the Lord has to say. The word of the Lord that came unto Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, to Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, go, take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms. For the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son. God asked Hosea, or commanded him, to go and marry a prostitute. He told him to marry a whore and for this prostitute to actually bear his children. He uses this marriage as a picture of the relationship of God and the nation of Israel. And we'll see how it develops here. So he went and he took this woman. The Lord said unto him, call his name Jezreel for yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. Now you can see the fellowship of this prophet with God, that he had a very close and intimate relationship, that he had such a good ear to hear God's voice that God even named his children. And that's the kind of walk that the Christian should have, that God could name your children. He could name your dog Spot. He could name your kitty cat. He could tell you what car to buy, what to put on the table at night. But God does have your life all laid out for you. And if you would check in with him once in a while, he'd be more than happy to tell you what the best plan would be. But I thought this was interesting that these guys, you know, God speaks to him, says, now it's going to be a son. You're going to have a son, and he's going to do this and that. Name him after this, name him for that. But he had a great relationship with him. And it shall come to pass at that day that I'll break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. And she conceived again and bare a daughter, and God said unto him, call her name Lo-Ruhamah, for I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I'll utterly take them away. But I will have mercy upon the house of Judah, and will save them by the Lord their God, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, by horses, nor by horsemen. Now when she had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, she conceived and bare a son. So a son, a daughter, a son. And God Then said God, call his name Lo Am Me, Am I, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. So if you want to underline that, you'll remember that this is reference to the promise that God gave to Abraham, even though he's passing judgment. Another thing, if you'll notice, the names of these children are the God pronouncing judgment upon the nation Israel. So now, here's a man walking so close to God that, like Ezekiel, he told him to lie on his left side for 390 days, another 40 days on his right side, told him to cut a hole in the wall, go out of the wall with his bags packed and let the people see it on his shoulder, that it would be a burden for them to depart. And he used his entire life to be a witness to the community around him. Now, Hosea has such a relationship that his children and his wife belong to God, and even the naming of them, and God uses the children to be pronouncing judgment. Then said God, call his name, Lo Am I, for ye are not my people, and I'll not be your God. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God. Then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together and appoint themselves one head, and they shall come up out of the land. For great shall be the day of Jezreel. So, first chapter we see this marriage of Hosea to be a similitude concerning God's relationship with Israel. In verses 18 and 19 here of chapter 2, we begin seeing the judgment up to this point, but in 18 and 19 we see the kingdom age spoken of. First of all, in verse 16 it says that, or 14, therefore behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. And I will give her her vineyards from thence and the valley of Achor for a door of hope, and she shall sing there as in the days of her youth and as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt, speaking to Israel now, and he being the lover wooing her. And it shall be at that day, saith the Lord, that thou shalt call me Ishi, and shall call me no more Baali. Ishi, of course, is Hebrew, his name that is my husband, my lord, or my master. And they were worshiping Baal, who was the devil. They were actually worshiping the devil through Baal. And he says, no longer will you call me Baal, but call me Ishi, my husband, my lord, my master. So some of you girls may want to call your husband when you go home tonight and turn out the lights. Good night, Ishi. My lord and my master, my husband. For I will, I've been called Icky before, but no. For I will take away the names of Balaam out of her mouth, and they shall no more be remembered by their name. And in that day will I make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field, with the fowls of the heaven, with the creeping things of the ground. And I'll break the bow, the sword, and the battle out of the earth, and will make them to lie down safely. So speaking of this millennial reign, a thousand-year period of total peace on the planet Earth that is going to be starting not too far off. And I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness, and in judgment, and in loving kindness, and in mercies. Isn't that beautiful? When you're married to the Lord, you'll be receiving a dowry of righteousness, and judgment, and loving kindness, and in mercy. And we are the bride of Christ, and he is the bridegroom. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Lord. It shall come to pass in that day that I will hear, saith the Lord, I will hear the heavens, and they shall hear the earth. And the earth shall hear the corn, and the wine, and the oil, and they shall hear Jezreel. And I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. And I will say to them which were not my people, thou art my people, and they shall say, thou art my God. He's speaking about you. He's speaking about the Gentiles, that he would speak to the rest of the world and those people would respond, and that God's mercy would be so overpowering that he would receive Gentiles into the kingdom. And this is his mercy showing here. Chapter 3, the prophecy, a short one here, of the desolation of Israel coming forward from God to Hosea. Then said the Lord unto me, go yet, love a woman beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who took to other gods and loved flagons of wine. So he uses this this woman now not only unfaithful, but now being an adulteress, and that this was also the spiritual adultery spoken of Israel, that was God was the husband to Israel, and Israel not only became a prostitute, but when he started to forgive them, that they went out and committed adultery, whoring after other gods and false gods and idolatry. And so I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver and for a homer of barley and a half homer of barley. And so he paid a price to have his bride come back. And now God, in the same way to the church, paid a price by giving his son to die for the church to redeem you to himself. And we'll send the Messiah to redeem and to take control of Israel. I said unto her, thou shalt abide for me many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot. Thou shalt not be for another man. So will I also be for thee. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king and without a prince and without a sacrifice and without an image and without an ephod and without a teraphim. Afterward shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God and David their king, and shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days. So Israel will return. God is a jealous God, and if you block off fellowship with him, it breaks his heart. And he becomes very jealous if you go serving idolatry or serving your own ways. And so God will redeem you. We have that beautiful scripture in 1 John that if we confess our sins, he will forgive us and cleanse us from unrighteousness. And so he doesn't want you to live alienated in your sins from him. And he has paid a price much more precious than silver and gold. He has paid the price of his son shedding his sinless blood for you. Afterward, he talks about in verse 5 there that in the latter days, goodness shall come to Israel. So you can go into Israel today. I hope we'll be able to take another tour before the Lord comes. I always thought it'd be neat to be standing there in the Mount of Olives or something, you know, and the Lord comes back. You're taken up right there, right from where he went up at. Hear the word of the Lord, chapter 4. Ye children of Israel, for the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, no mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. And God to our country will say the same thing, you know, that he has a controversy with the people of this country or of any country around the world, that if his word isn't going out to the people and there's no knowledge of him, he's going to sit down and talk to that nation about it until they get their eyes on him. He says, by swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood touches blood. High crime rate, adultery, rioting in the street, cursing and lying is a way of life. Killing is nothing. You look just at the sad things. The man that was shot 4 times in the back of the head last Thursday, I think it was, in La Jolla. The 6-year-old boy that was found murdered in Balboa Park last week. Just in our own streets, you stop and you think, you know, that somebody actually murdered somebody in our own town. Some human being was actually ripped off and murdered in our own town. And that's one of the major problems around the country right now is murders. It's just at a phenomenal rate from the crime reports. Therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of heaven. Yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. Here's a nice little prophecy. You see the paper yesterday of the dead carp laying at the bottom of the reservoirs in Northern California. The fishes shall be taken away. Even when God brings judgment to a nation, he'll even deal with the wildlife of the nation. Not only the people, but he'll deal with their economy, he'll deal with their agriculture, and he'll deal with the beasts of the field and the fish of the sea. Lack of knowledge destroys, so don't be ignorant concerning God or his word. Don't be ignorant concerning his word. Lack of knowledge will bring the destroyer into your life. Therefore, yet let no man strive, verse 4, nor reprove another, for thy people are as they that strive with the priest. Therefore shalt thou fall in that day, and the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mother. My people, I've got this marked with a yellow marker and outlined all the way around with a pen. You may like to make note of this verse. It may mean something to you as an individual. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. If you run into troubles and your life seems to be falling apart and you have a hard time getting it on with God, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because thou hast rejected knowledge. The lack of the study of the Bible will allow your life to be a mess. And in rejecting the study of the Word of God, you are rejecting God. And your life will fall apart. My people have a messed up life My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will reject thee. Don't turn your back on God by keeping away from the Word of God. As they were increased, so they sinned against me. No, that's a big problem. God begins to bless people and they turn from Him. David said, God, don't bless me too much that I'll turn from You, but yet don't starve me out that I'll curse You and become a thief. So if God prospers your life, don't get heady and puffed up and turn from Him. For will I change their glory into shame. They eat up the sin of my people. They set their heart on their iniquity. There should be like people like priests, and I'll punish them for their ways and reward them for their doings. They shall eat and not have enough. They shall commit whoredom and shall not increase, because they have left off to take heed of the Lord. Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. My people ask counsel at their stocks, and their staff declareth unto them, for the spirit of whoredoms has caused them to err, and they have gone a-whoring from under their God. They sacrifice upon the tops of the mountains and burn incense upon the hills under oaks and poplars and elms, because the shadow thereof is good. Therefore your daughters shall commit whoredom, and your spouses shall commit adultery. I will not punish your daughters when they commit whoredom, nor your spouses when they commit adultery, for themselves are separated with whores, and they sacrifice with harlots. Therefore the people that doth not understand shall fall. So a sign of decline of spirituality and of a nation is that the women become very promiscuous in the society. Not only is Peter brought out and Isaiah brought out that women's apparel is a sign of the decline of morals in a nation, but also their sexual habits are a major sign that God's judgment is on the nation, and that that the nation is going to be judged and destroyed, and it is going to fall down to the grossest level of communication with its people. God says that when the wives and the daughters of the men of Israel begin to go out and just commit adultery and fornication, that He wouldn't even try to put a stop to it. And you look at some of the Gallup polls and the other polls around the nation today, from college campuses and high school campuses and even junior high campuses, and among married women, the numbers of women that have committed adultery on their husbands, or that were divorced because of the husband ran into another woman, or among unmarried women, and the high rate of premarital sex. And look at the epidemic rate of venereal disease in America, and you'll see that we are where Israel was and where Babylon was and where all the great world empires were. The women are a major indicator of judgment of God. And here God says, I won't even punish them. I'm not even going to try to do you any good because you wouldn't listen to me, and I'm not going to... You want to see what it's like? Now let your wife go out and be a whore, because you've been a whore to me. You want to see what it's like? I'm just let your daughters go out and just do whatever they want. And when they come home with their problems, boy, you're not going to be able to handle them, because this is exactly what you're doing to me. I will not punish your daughters, nor your spouses. Though thou, Israel, play the harlot, yet let not Judah offend. And come not ye unto Gilgal, neither go ye up to Beth-Aven, nor swear, the Lord liveth. For Israel slideth back as a backsliding heifer. Now the Lord will feed them as a lamb in a large place. Ephraim is joined to idols, let him alone. Their drink is sour, they have committed whoredom continually. Her rulers with shame do love, give ye. The wind has bound her up in her wings, and they shall be ashamed because of their sacrifices. Chapter 5, hear ye this, O priest, this is the religious leaders of the country, and hearken, ye house of Israel, and give ye ear, O house of the king, for judgment is toward you, because you have been a snare on Mizpah and a net spread upon Tabor. And the revolters are profound to make slaughter, though I have been a rebuker of them all. I know Ephraim, and Israel is not hid from me. For now, O Ephraim, thou committest whoredom, and Israel is defiled. And they will not frame their doings to turn unto their God, for the spirit of whoredoms is in the midst of them, and they have not known the Lord. And the pride of Israel doth testify to his face. Therefore shall Israel and Ephraim fall in their iniquity. Judah also shall fall with them. They shall go with their flocks and with their herds to seek the Lord, but they shall not find him. He hath withdrawn himself from them. They have dealt treacherously against the Lord, and they have begotten strange children, and now shall a month devour them with their portion. So verse 7 is an interesting thing, that they have dealt treacherously against the Lord, and they have begotten strange children. And in verse 6, they shall go with their flocks and herds to seek the Lord, but they shall not find him. He hath withdrawn himself from them. Because their attitude was horrible to God. And God, when you get an horrible attitude to him and you just shine him on, man, there's going to come a time when he's going to shine you on. And you're going to reap what you sow. Now Galatians says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you do not sow to fellowship with God, you do not sing and praise God on your own, you do not read his word and meditate over his word, and you don't pray and seek him by yourself even, not only in a congregation, then you shine him on, he's going to shine you on. And in the day of your calamity, he's just not going to answer until you learn your lesson. So he says, you shine me on, now I'm going to shine you on. You dealt treacherously with me. Blow ye the cornet in Gibeah and the trumpet in Ramah. Cry aloud at Beth Avon after thee, O Benjamin. Ephraim shall be desolate in the days of rebuke among the tribes of Israel. Have I made known that which shall surely be? The princes of Judah were like them that removed the bound. Therefore I'll pour out my wrath upon them like water. Ephraim is oppressed and broken in judgment because he willingly walked after the commandment. Therefore will I be unto Ephraim as a moth, and to the house of Judah as rottenness. When Ephraim saw his sickness and Judah saw his wound, then went Ephraim to the Assyrian and sent to King Jareb. Yet could he not heal you nor cure you out of your wound. What he's saying here is that when they began to freak out because God was speaking to them, they didn't want to hear the truth. And they didn't want to hear judgment. They wanted to do their own thing. Instead of repenting and turning to God, they ran off to the Assyrians. And to the Christian, what he's saying, that when God begins to deal with you, you don't necessarily need to run to the psychiatrist or the psychologist or to the bank to get a loan or to mommy and daddy or anywhere. Just stop right in your tracks there. Don't go anywhere for help. Go right to God and get the issue settled right there. Because what you'll be doing is just avoiding the trials, because sometime you're going to have to come with the issue that you're hung up on to God's throne and lay it out to his throne and let him deal with it once and for all. You cannot get to Z without going through the other 25 letters of the alphabet. And so there's no shortcuts as a Christian missing the dealings of God. I learned that the hard way. For I will be unto Ephraim as a lion and as a young lion to the house of Judah. I, even I, will tear and go away, and I'll take away, and none shall rescue him. I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In their affliction, they will seek me early. Now here's a key to when you go through trials or you feel that you have blown it. God says, I'll go and I'll sit back in my place till they acknowledge their offense. He's not going to bless you if you're living in sin. And when you seek him and then you confess the hang-up and the sin and the problem, then in your affliction, you'll begin to seek him early. He will reveal himself to you and forgive you of your sin. But he won't take it if you come and just with a half heart say, well, I'm sorry, and you didn't really mean it. Seek him early in your affliction. Bring the problem to him. Acknowledge him, and he'll reveal himself. Now, chapter 6 begins in a very, very beautiful promise from God to these people here. God exhorting Israel to repent of their sins. If you've got problems tonight, listen to this. Come and let us return unto the Lord. For he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. Isn't that beautiful? He said, I'll be like a lion to them. And a lion, when he jumps on his prey, rips him apart. Now they say, when God removes his hand from blessing you, the devil can come in and start ripping your life off. So God has allowed that to happen. But because you sinned and did not seek him early and come to repentance, the devil came in like a roaring lion and started to rip you to pieces. But when you confess your sin and you ask God to be active in your life and to lead you and to take care of your life, then he can do that healing work only when you allow him to come in. So don't be so hard-headed. You say, oh, no, I'll make this one through. Come and let us return unto the Lord. I like that. Chuck Butler from Parable has a beautiful song that he wrote to this, beautiful lyrics. And he wrote a beautiful melody to it. For he has torn, and he will heal us. He has smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Now, I like this verse. You know why? Because we're told about Jesus Christ being 3 days in the bowels of the earth. We will see here in a couple of weeks Jonah in the belly of the whale for 3 days. We also see that we're told that God is not slack concerning promises, as some men count slackness. For a day unto the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. He says here, after 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he'll raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Jesus has been gone for 2,000 years, which to him is 2 days. Israel has been all broken and bound from their sin. After the 2 days, at the end of the 2 days, he will revive us. We are seeing Israel being revived 2,000 years later, or in God's calendar, only 2 days later. And in the third day, he will raise us up and we shall live in his sight. The third day would be the third 1,000-year period, which would be the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, when all the world would come to Jerusalem to worship Jesus Christ. 2 days, now at the end of the two, he's reviving them, and then the third day, he will raise them up, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. The latter and the former rain unto the earth. Now, many people, especially in the Pentecostal circles, take this as the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Many just take it literally as that, the physical rain. And as you know, the latter rain, the end times here, that Israel has had rains like they've never had before. And they are now one of the top three exporters of citrus fruit in the world. And they've made the deserts to blossom forth in some very beautiful kibbutzes over there. And that is being fulfilled now. But also, the Spirit is being poured out in the last days, as we'll see in our study in Joel last week. So I guess you could take it either way or both together. But the Holy Spirit is a beautiful thing. O Ephraim, what shall I do unto thee? O Judah, what shall I do unto thee? For your goodness is as a morning cloud, and as the early dew it goeth away. Therefore have I hewed them by the prophets, I have slain them by the words of my mouth, and thy judgments are as the light that goeth forth. Look at the picture there. Concerning the people, he hewed them by using prophets. He slayed them by the words from his mouth, and his judgments become light that goes forth. For I desired mercy and not sacrifice. Too many people trying to impress God with their sacrifices. And the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. The knowledge of God is what he wants. He wants you to have mercy upon others, and he wants you to have the knowledge of God in your life. But they, like men, have transgressed the covenant. There have they dealt treacherously against me. Gilead is a city of them that work iniquity and is polluted with blood. And as troops of robbers wait for a man, so the company of priests murder in the way by consent, for they commit lewdness. I have seen a horrible thing in the house of Israel. There is the whoredom of Ephraim. Israel is defiled. Also, O Judah, he has set an harvest for thee when I return the captivity of my people. Chapter 7. We see here now in at the end of chapter 6 a great revival concerning the latter rain in the nation Israel. And now in chapter 7 we see reproof of the sins. When I would have healed Israel, then the iniquity of Ephraim was discovered, and the wickedness of Samaria, for they commit falsehood, and the thief cometh in, and the troop of robbers spoileth without. And they consider not in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness. Now their own doings have beset them about there before my face. People do forget that God is watching, and people do forget that God is going to judge. We were talking about this the other night, that people are just blinded to the judgment of God. Just like Jeremiah said, God spoke through him to Israel and says, my people know not of judgment. How sad it is in our country. How sad it is in the whole world. People aren't aware of judgment because God has been so silent for so many years. And then all of a sudden it's going to come as a thief in the night. That's sad. Don't forget, God's watching every move you make, and that God is going to judge. Verse 6, for they have made ready their heart like an oven. While they lie in wait, their baker sleeps all the night. In the morning it burns as a flaming fire. They are all hot as an oven, and have devoured their judges. All their kings are fallen. There is none among them that calls upon me. Yea, Ephraim hath mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake not turned. Strangers have devoured his strength. He knoweth it not. Isn't that sad? He wasn't even aware that he had been taken. and didn't even know that he didn't have strength to turn around and fight. Woe unto them, verse 13, for they have fled from me, destruction unto them, because they have transgressed against me. Though I have redeemed them, yet they have spoken lies against me. They have not cried unto me with their heart. When they howled upon their beds, they assemble themselves for corn and wine, and they rebel against me. Though I have bound and strengthened their arms, yet do they imagine mischief against me. They return, but not to the Most High. They are like a deceitful bow. Their princes shall fall by the sword for the rage of their tongue. This shall be their derision in the land of Egypt. Chapter 8, set the trumpet to thy mouth. He shall come as an eagle against the house of the Lord, because they have transgressed my covenant and trespassed against my law. Israel shall cry unto me, my God, we know thee. Israel hath cast off the thing that is good. The enemy shall pursue him. They have set up kings, but not by me. They have made princes, and I knew it not. Of their silver and their gold have they made them idols, that they may be cut off. They didn't even seek God for their government leaders, and then wealth and materialism became their idols. Thy calf, O Samaria, has cast thee off. Mine anger is kindled against them. How long will it be ere they attain to innocency? For from Israel was it also, the workman made it. Therefore it was not God. But the calf of Samaria shall be broken in pieces. For they have sown the wind, I love this, and they shall reap the whirlwind. What an analogy. They sowed to the wind, and they reap the whirlwind. Sown to the wind. Your life could be just doing that, sowing to the wind, not really hearkening to God, casting them off, and for a season, you're going to go out and play in the world, and in sowing to the wind, you're going to reap the whirlwind. Sowing to the wind. It hath no stalk, the bud shall yield no meal, if so be it yield, the stranger shall swallow it up. Even if you go, you're not going to reap anything if you try to replace what has been taken away. Israel is swallowed up, now shall they be among the Gentiles as a vessel wherein is no pleasure. For they are gone up to Assyria, a wild ass alone by himself. Ephraim hath hired lovers, yea, though they have hired among the nations, now will I gather them, and they shall sorrow a little for the burden of the king of the princes. I have written, verse 12, to him the great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing. They sacrifice flesh for the sacrifices of mine offerings and eat it, but the Lord accepteth them not. Now will he remember their iniquity and visit their sins. They shall return to Egypt. And Israel hath forgotten his maker and buildeth temples. And Judah hath multiplied fenced cities, but I will send a fire upon his cities, and it shall devour the palaces thereof. Now, chapter 9, we see this distress over Israel and its captivity for their sins. He says, rejoice not, Israel, O Israel, for joy as other people, for thou hast gone a-whoring from thy God, thou hast loved a reward upon every corn floor. The floor and the winepress shall not feed them, and the new wine shall fail in them. Sort of makes you stop and think what's happened in Northern California with the wineries up there and what's going to happen because of the lack of water. The wine is going to fail from the grapes, a sign of judgment. They shall not dwell in the Lord's land, but Ephraim shall return to Egypt, and they shall eat unclean things in Assyria. They shall not offer wine offerings to the Lord, neither shall they be pleasing unto him. Their sacrifices shall be unto them as the bread of mourners, and all that eat thereof shall be polluted.
In prayer. Their marriage was restored.
And to have... What will you do in the solemn day and in the day of the feast of the Lord? Verse 7, the days of visitation are come. The days of recompense are come. Isn't that sad? You've gone on being a mighty and a powerful nation, but you turned to silver and gold and materialism. You didn't seek me in your governmental affairs. You chose kings and princes and set them up without checking me. And now finally, the day of visitation are come, and the days of recompense are come. There was no way out of it. Israel shall know it. The prophet is a fool. The spiritual man is mad for the multitude of thine iniquity and the great hatred. The watchman of Ephraim was with my God, but the prophet is a snare of a fowler in all of his ways and hatred in the house of his God. They have deeply corrupted themselves as in the day of Gibeah. Therefore he will reward their iniquity. He will visit their sins. Verse 16, Ephraim is smitten. Their root is dried up. They shall bear no fruit. Yea, though they bring forth, yet will I slay even the beloved fruit of their womb. My God will cast them away because they did not hearken unto him, and they shall be wanderers among the nations. That prophecy has been fulfilled. They are today wanderers among the nations, but up until recently, in the last 10 years especially, they are now fulfilling the prophecies of Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, that they would return to the land. Now, this is something to note. Hosea begins the third or the final portion of the Old Testament, and it is known as the Minor Prophets. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, and Daniel are known as the Major Prophets, not because one had a more important message than the other, but the Minor Prophets had less to say than the Major Prophets. And Hosea is not necessarily in chronological order from the rest of these books. So we see that God returns them to the land, but here now in Hosea we see in chapter 9 that he causes them to be wanderers among the nations. And we have seen in Ezekiel they will return. Chapter 10, Israel is reproved. Israel is an empty vine. He brings forth fruit unto himself according to the multitude of his fruit. He has increased the altars according to the goodness of his land. They have made goodly images. Their heart is divided. Now shall they be found faulty. He shall break down their altars, and he shall spoil their images. For now they shall say, we have no king because we feared not the Lord. What then should a king do to us?
And one will be weaker.
Making a covenant. Thus judgment springeth up as hemlock in the furrows of the field. Verse 9, O Israel, thou hast sinned from the days of Gibeah. There they stood. The battle in Gibeah against the children of iniquity did not overtake them. It is in my desire that I should chastise them, and the people shall be gathered against them, when they shall bind themselves in their own their two furrows. Verse 11, Ephraim is as an heifer that is taught and loveth to tread out the corn, but I passed over upon her fair neck. I will make Ephraim to ride, Judah shall plow, and Jacob shall break his clods. Sow to yourselves in righteousness. Reap in mercy. Underline that one. Sow and you shall reap is the law of the New Testament. He says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, you'll reap in mercy. You sow to the wind, he just got through saying, you're going to reap the whirlwind. You sow to the flesh and you're going to reap destruction. Sow to the Spirit and you'll reap incorruption. Now, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. What a promise. If you will sow, he says here, in righteousness, you'll reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground. You know how you break up the fallow ground? Your heart is hardened. Break up your heart by taking the plow, by taking the sword of the Word of God and plowing up the fallow ground. Break it up by every day reading this thing. Read it and memorize scriptures. And go over it and go over it and go over it. And it breaks up the dirt clods. You ever seen big dried up old dirt clods? And when you break them up and you start grinding them, they turn into dirt. Maybe some of you have been out in your gardens lately with all those weeds, pulling those weeds and the hard dirt. I was hoeing yesterday around some of our fruit trees and I had to break up the dirt, the fallow ground, and get it all broken loose a little bit and then water it. It was all dry and parched around the fruit trees. Well, break up the fallow ground of your heart. Sow in righteousness and you'll reap in mercy. And fill the good ground now with the Word of God, because it is time to seek the Lord. It's the answer to everybody's problem tonight. It is time to seek the Lord. Do you realize by us seeking the Lord more numbers of people that have been getting saved on Wednesday nights, the increase? Do you realize that if more of you that belong to this church have been coming on Sunday nights and studying and praying, God has added on the evangelistic night more souls? Because what good will it do for him to win more people into the kingdom if there aren't enough people to minister to them? See, as you're faithful in showing up to learn the Word, and you're faithful to show up for these prayer meetings, he's going to increase souls into the kingdom through this church. If not to this church, he's not going to stop saving souls because of our lack of obedience. He'll take them to some other church that's breaking up the fallow ground. And you see what a blessing it is on Wednesday nights, that there's no room at the inn. You have eaten the fruit of lies. He says, you have plowed wickedness. You have reaped iniquity. You have eaten the fruit of lies because thou didst trust in thy way in the multitude of thy mighty men. Therefore shall a tumult arise among thy people, and all thy fortresses shall be destroyed. Two lives, a spiritual life and a carnal life. Chapter 11, When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. As they called them, so they went from them. They sacrificed unto Balaam and burned incense to graven images. Verse 4, I drew them with cords of a man with bands of love, and I was to them as they that take off the yoke on their jaws, and I laid meat unto them. He fed them, he looked after them. And they were really very ungrateful to God for what he had done. He says in verse 8, how shall I give thee up, Ephraim? How shall I deliver thee to Israel? How shall I make thee as Admah? How shall I set thee as Zeboim? Mine heart is turned within me. My repentings are kindled together. I will not execute the fierceness of mine anger. I will not return to destroy Ephraim, for I am God and not man, the Holy One in the midst of thee, and I will not enter into the city. They shall walk after the Lord. He shall roar like a lion. When he shall roar, then the children shall tremble from the west. There's many scriptures about Jesus. When he comes back, he's going to roar like a lion. That's going to be exciting. You hear him roar like Aslan. They shall tremble as a bird out of Egypt, and as a dove out of the land of Assyria. And I will place them in their houses, saith the Lord. Ephraim compasses me about with lies, and the house of Israel with deceit. But Judah yet ruleth with God, and is faithful with the saints. Be faithful to God with your life and your fellowship with him. Now he begins not only to reprove Ephraim, but also Judah. Chapter 12, Ephraim feeds on wind and follows after the east wind. He daily increases lies and desolation, and they do make a covenant with the Assyrians. And oil, note this, is carried into Egypt. The Lord hath also a controversy with Judah, and will punish Jacob according to his ways. According to his doings will he recompense him. He took his brother by the heel in the womb, and by his strength he had power with God. Yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept and made supplications unto him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spake with us, even the Lord God of hosts. The Lord is his memorial. Now he speaks about Jacob. You know the story about Esau and Jacob. Jacob was a real conniver, and they named both the boys after what they meant. Jacob means heel catcher. And so when Esau came out, Jacob came out holding on to his heel. He was working a deal in the womb there, trying to get out first, because he wanted to be the firstborn to have the blessing of his father. And as you know, later on, he ended up getting that blessing. But Esau came out, and he was a hairy little varmint, all red, full of hair, and came out like Yosemite Sam, and so they named him Esau. And Esau means hairy. And so that's how he got his name. He was hairy, you know. If he was had an English name, it would be Harry. And so old Jacob was hanging on to his, they were twins, and Jacob was hanging on to his heel, coming out right after him. He wasn't going to lose that blessing. As he got older and his father was dying, Esau came in from the fields and was very, very hungry. And he was the favorite of Isaac, and Jacob was in the house with his mother and sort of a homebody. And so he came in out of the fields working one day, and he says, oh, give me to eat, give me to eat. And he had a bowl of chili on the fire burning, and he says, I'll tell you what, I'll give you a bowl of chili if you'll sell me your birthright, that I could have the birthright. He said, what's a birthright to me now? I'm starving. Give me something to eat. And so he took the birthright. And God got a little angry with that because he didn't appreciate what God had done for him. And so for a bowl of chili, he sold out his birthright. And then he goes and he says, Isaac says, I'm going to bless you, my son. Go out and give me some venison. You know how I like venison before I die. Bring me some venison and broil it the way that I like it. And so he was blind and couldn't see too well. So Jacob's mom, she was kind of a conniver too. She said, I'll take the blame for this, but you get in there and we'll fix some meat for my husband.
Brothers and sisters are and love him.
And so she put some goat skin on the back of his neck and put a little furry covering over his arm, and she broiled a goat and cooked him and spiced him up and took him in there. And he went in and says, Father, I'm here with what the meat. And he says, well, holy, you got back off all quickly. It just went a few minutes. He says, well, the Lord blessed me with favor and I found somebody real quick. And he says, you sure this is you? He says, oh, sure, it's me. And he knew something was up. And he says, come a little closer. And he says, bend down here. And he put his hand on the nape of his neck. And he had that goat's hair back there, and he says, huh. And he felt his arm, and he felt that hairy goat's coat that was on Jacob. He says, well, I guess it is you. And so he blessed him with his inheritance. And that's what he did here. And so he brings up Jacob here, how that he took his brother by the heel in the womb, and by his strength he had power with God. You must stop and think about Esau, though. He must have been a hairy critter. To have, you know, for Isaac to feel the back of his neck and his arm and to feel a... Could you imagine an old sheep coat around your arm? And he says, oh yeah, that's you, I can tell. His brother must have been like an old goat. Even the Lord God of hosts, the Lord is his memorial. Verse 6, therefore turn thou to my God, keep mercy and judgment, and wait on thy God continually. Keep mercy and judgment, and wait on thy God continually. Wait on him in prayer. Wait on him in song. Wait on him in fellowship. Wait on him just to get direction for your life. But wait continually. Don't give up hope if you're waiting to hear from the Lord. Last night as I was studying, it was kind of late, and I just sitting in my chair, and all of a sudden I thought, I don't want to study anymore. I just want to praise you and tell you how much I love you, Lord. And I set my Bible down, my commentaries I was reading, and I started singing in my den to the Lord and speaking to him in the spirit and just praising him. But I was waiting on him too, and as I waited, he gave me some more stuff to fill my heart with, some more of his word and some more knowledge. Wait on him continually. It's good to wait upon the Lord. He is a merchant. The balances of deceit are in his hand. He loves to oppress. And Ephraim said, yet I am become rich. I have found me out of substance in all my labors. They shall find none iniquity in me that were sin. And I that am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt will yet make thee to dwell in the tabernacles as in the days of the solemn feast. I have also spoken by the prophets, and I have multiplied visions and used similitudes by the ministry of the prophets. So God will speak. And if you will find yourself going over Revelation and going over the prophets, you will find God speaking to you through the prophets. He has multiplied visions. Now next week we're going to see in Joel that the young men and women would have visions in the last days. He has multiplied visions and used similitudes by the ministry of the prophets. Hosea was a similitude, marrying the whore, that Israel was a whore to God. Is there iniquity in Gilead? Surely they are vanity. They sacrifice bullocks and buffaloes in Gilead. They are vanity. They sacrifice bullocks in Gilgal. Yea, their altars are as heaps in the furrows of the field. And Jacob fled into the country of Syria, and Israel served for a wife, and for a wife he kept sheep. And by a prophet the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt, and by a prophet was he preserved. Ephraim provoked him to anger most bitterly, therefore shall he leave his blood upon him, and his reproach shall his Lord return unto him. When Ephraim spake trembling, he exalted himself in Israel. So Israel mentioned directly 44 times here, but Ephraim being one of the major areas that God is speaking to, and a little bit to Judah. But when he offended in Baal, he died. And now they sin more and more and have made them molten images of their silver and their gold. And therefore they shall be as the morning cloud, and as the early dew that passes away, as the chaff that is driven with a whirlwind out of the floor, and as the smoke out of the chimney. Yet I am the God, I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt, and thou shalt know no God but me, for there is no Savior beside me. Show that to a Jehovah Witness. And turn to the Scriptures in the New Testament concerning the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, either God is confused or the Jehovah Witnesses are confused. I leave it to you. There is no Savior beside me. Jesus Christ is none other than the Lord God Almighty. He said, I am Jehovah God. I am the Lord thy God. There is no Savior beside me. I did know thee in the wilderness in the land of great drought. According to their pasture, so were they filled. They were filled, and their heart was exalted. Therefore have they forgotten me. Therefore I will be unto them as a lion, as a leopard by the way will I observe thee. I will meet them as a bear that is bereaved of her whelps, and will rend the cowl of their heart, and there will I devour them like a lion, the wild beast shall tear them. Could you imagine romping through the tulips someday, and a big mama grizzly is missing three or four of her little whelps, and they've been ripped off? How angry an angry bear is. Boy, and God says, that's exactly how I'm going to be to those that turn from me. I'll just be waiting for you, and you'll come. And he says, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. How many people have you seen and actually watched destroy themselves? actually just let their lives go to pot, literally, some of them. But just destroying themselves, just purposely destroying themselves, doing everything they can to destroy themselves. O Israel, thou hast destroyed themselves. I knew a guy that was a very intellectual young guy, and he purposely dropped out of high school and got the worst grades he could because he had a chip on his shoulder and he wanted to destroy his mind. Didn't want to ever use it anymore. He had a chip on his shoulder, so he said, I'm just not going to compete. I'm not going to do anything. That's it. And he ruined some of the best years of his life. And then when he became a Christian, he realized what a fool he had really been. That it was him destroying himself. It wasn't just the circumstances or everybody else feeling sorry for himself. But he says here, but in me is thine help. If you want to destroy yourself, stop and look at the other half of this verse. In me is thine help. No reason for you ever to destroy yourself. In God is your help. You won't get it from man. You won't get it from an organization. You'll get your help from God. I will be thy king. Where is any other that may save thee in all thy cities? And thou judgest of whom thou saidst, give me a king and princes. I gave thee a king in mine anger, and I took him away in my wrath. Speaking about Saul, I imagine the iniquity of Ephraim is bound up. His sin is hid. The sorrows of a travailing woman shall come upon him. He's an unwise son. For he should not stay long in the place of the breaking forth of children. I'll ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. Though he be fruitful among his brethren, an east wind shall come, the wind of the Lord shall come up from the wilderness, and his spring shall become dry. And his fountain shall be dried up. He shall spoil the treasure of all pleasant vessels. Samaria shall become desolate, for she hath rebelled against her Lord. They shall fall by the sword, their infants shall be dashed in pieces, and their women with child shall be ripped up. Not a very good picture, but as I said, if you were to do an analysis of the book of Hosea, three words would come forth: judgment, sin, and love. This chapter holds one of the most beautiful verses that I love concerning a Christian that is backslidden. O Israel, now we see love. Return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously, so will we render the calves of our lips. So here we see now God saying, speak, people, just come to me. I'm just asking you. Repent of your sins and ask me to love you. How many times do you forget to let God love you? God, let me, let you love me. We have to let God love us. We can hold off. I don't want you to love me. I don't want anything to do with it. You can do that. I know that all of you, sometime or another, has had a boyfriend or a girlfriend that you wouldn't let love you. And you knew that that person loved you, but nope, that's it. Shine them on. And you've had somebody, even in your own family, try to break through and to love you. Nope. Mm-mm. And you hold it off. Well, the same thing with God. God wants to love you. And you can say, no, I'm not interested. I'm going to go over here and I'm going to do this. So they backslid and he says, no. I beg you, give me the privilege to come into your life and to help you. Asher shall not save us. Verse 3, we will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods, for in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. Here it is. I love it. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. Isn't that beautiful? I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. No charge. Just come, I'll heal that backsliding, whatever the weakness is you're caught into, and I'll love you freely. No strings attached. No climbing Mount Everest. No dragging yourself into church. No writing a $1,000 check for the offering to prove that you love him. I will love you freely. And I will heal your backsliding, for mine anger is turned away from him. Yes, he said to the nation, come to me. I'll heal your backsliding. I'll love you freely. Mine anger is turned away. You know, if you know somebody that's caught in sin, that's a Christian, that's burdened down by the guilt of it, and they don't think that God will love them again or forgive them, turn them to this verse and don't even read it. I like to take this verse and I like to open up the Bible and say, I just got this verse here underlined. It's only one verse that I want you to read. And I want you to read it out loud. I don't want you to look at it and then read it. I want you to, as soon as you see the letters pop up, I want you to read it to me and hand them your Bible. And watch the reaction. And they'll stand and say, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from them. And usually they'll pause and hesitate, and they'll see what it's saying right off, because the word backsliding comes out, and he'll convict them that they are backsliding. And I will heal their backsliding, and I'll love them freely, mine anger is turned away. Gets them every time. I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. They that dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall revive as the corn and grow as the vine. The scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do any more with idols? I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree. From me is thy fruit found. Who is wise? And he shall understand these things. Prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein. Are you wise tonight? You'll understand. Are you prudent? You shall know. And the ways of the Lord are the right way to walk. If you want to know which way to walk tonight, walk in the ways of the Lord. Open up the Bible and pray and let God show you the way he'd have you turn. And the righteous will walk in them, but the transgressors and the sinners will stumble over God's word, and they won't have anything to do with them. So we finished Hosea.